Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 318, The Power of a Small Beginning. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, May 14th, 2023, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. Bless you. The Lord gave me a word for the moms, actually, and we'll start with that before I jump into the message today. Moms, just allow your hearts to be ministered to, because this is the word of the Lord to you. This is from Isaiah 54. I'm going to start at verse 10. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Afflicted city, lashed by storms and not comforted, I will rebuild you with stones of turquoise, your foundations with lapis lazuli. I will make your battlements of rubies, your gates of sparkling jewels, and all your walls of precious stones. All your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. In righteousness you will be established. Tyranny will be far from you. You will have nothing to fear. Terror will be far removed. It will not come near you. If anyone does attack you, it will not be my doing. Whoever attacks you will surrender to you. See, it is I who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into flame and forges a weapon fit for its work. And it is I who have created the destroyer to wreak havoc. No weapon formed against you, mothers, shall prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. So just to expand on that, you know, if we kind of look at some of those verses, moms, he has unfailing love for you. His love does not end for you. Even though the mountains may be shaking, there may be an earthquake, or the hills be removed, nothing can change his love for you. It reminds me of a song that I used to sing when I was a kid in the church that I grew up. We used to sing, how does it go? Does anyone know this song? Though the mountains may fall and the hills turn to dust, yet the love of the Lord will stand in the shelter for all who will call on his name, sing the praise and the glory of God. So even though the mountains may shake, things may be trembling around you, his unfailing love for you, mothers, it doesn't go away. He has a covenant of peace with you, the shalom peace. When you look up that word peace here from this verse 10, where it says he has a covenant of peace with you, it says shalom, which means wholeness, wellness. It means nothing missing, nothing broken. And then it goes into afflicted city, lashed by storms, not comforted. As a mom, maybe your heart is hurting. Maybe your kids have walked away from intimate relationship with you. Maybe they've walked away from the Lord. Maybe they're not serving the Lord, and your heart grieves for them. But God says that he cares. He cares about you. He cares about your mother's heart. He cares about your children. And then it says, I will rebuild. These are the words that he says to you, if that's you and you identify with that. I will rebuild you with stones of turquoise, your foundations with lapis lazuli. I looked it up. It's another name for sapphire, the blue gem. And so, you know, he's saying he's going to rebuild you and he's going to lavish riches upon you. I mean, what mom doesn't want some bling bling, right? Doesn't want some gems and some stones. Can I get an amen, Sister Elizabeth, right? Some bling bling, right? He's going to give you those. He's not going to just only meet your needs. He's going to lavish his love, his unfailing love on you. He makes you beautiful with his turquoise stones, with the sapphire stones, the battlements of rubies. Who likes the red ones? The rubies. the sparkling jewels, all of them, they say. And then verse 13, you can hold his promise in your heart. It says, all your children will be taught of the Lord. That's an amazing promise. You can promise from the word, from the heart of God to the heart of you, mom, mother, put that in your heart that my children will be taught of the Lord. And speak that out. If you're seeing something different with your children, my child will be taught of the Lord. My children will be taught of the Lord, and great will be their peace. My children's peace will be great. If you don't see it yet in the natural, ask the Lord to paint you a picture of that in the spiritual realm. Show me my child's peace, because you promise it in your word. He says that we can remind him of his word, right? So remind him of his word. You said, God, that my children will be taught of the Lord, and you said that great will be their peace. He does the heavy lifting. You remind him of his word, he works it out, right? You stand in faith and you believe, but guard that in your heart. And then he says, in righteousness, he will establish you. You will find protection and security in him, verse 14. He's taking fear away. He's taking that tyranny, that dictatorship away, that lack of freedom away. And he quiets you with his assurance that he's got it. He's got your children. He's got you. He's got your family. He loves you. He cares for you, and he sees you. And verse 17 that you hear, you know, we commonly declare this and quote this verse, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So no weapon, moms, formed against you, against your children, against your families will prosper. So no discouragement, no grief, no strife in your family. No weapon formed against you, your children, your family, it will not prevail. It'll just fall down. It'll crash, right? He will protect his mama bears. He loves you. No one can mess with you because God is on your side, right? And so every tongue that rises against you will be refuted. It'll be shut up, basically. That's the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Now, if you're a mom, you serve. You serve your children, and you're serving God, right? So when it says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, if you're a mother, that's you. And if you're a spiritual mother, that's you. If you're a dog mom, that's you, because you're serving your dog too, right? Whoever you are serving, you're a servant of the Lord. That's your heritage. So rest in that word to you today. I encourage you to meditate on that. Let him paint a beautiful picture in your heart of that, of those promises. And as a gift and as a reminder of his unfailing love for you, we have roses for each of the moms. And if you're a spiritual mom or a mom-to-be, you can take one of those on the way out. The ladies will help distribute those, give those to you as you leave today. I wish I could just pause the service and come give a hug to all the moms, but because of time, we won't do that. So maybe I'll get to hug some of you on the way out. I work with mothers, and it's a hard job. It's a hard job, but you're doing awesome at whatever stage you are. And just declare, my children are taught of the Lord, and great will be my children's peace. Amen? Amen. So thank you, Father. I thank you for the mothers today. I ask your blessing on them. Father, in this day of celebration, we know that maybe it's not so easy for some moms. Maybe moms that are grieving or children that have lost their mothers. We pray that you, since you're the God of comfort, you would comfort those that are struggling or those that desire to be a mom. Thank you that you comfort with your shalom peace. And I pray, Father, the truths of this word penetrate deep by the power of the Holy Spirit to encourage and lift up moms that they know that you are for them, you are with them, that you care, and that you love their children, you love and bless their family. And I just thank you for that presence in their lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so now on to the message today. I'm excited to give this message. I'm sort of a, well, I like to be practical. I don't know if I am all the time, but this is sort of a practical message about, well, the title is The Power of a Small Beginning, right? And, you know, we talk a lot about how great, how big is our God, and he is. He's a big God. He's a God that created the universe, right? He created Niagara Falls. He created all these amazing, the species of animals. He created you and me, and just, he's an amazing God. The stars, when you look up at the stars, the galaxies, he created all of it. He's a big God with a big mission, with a big world that he created. And yet, for all of his bigness, God really has a remarkable love for what is small. Have you ever thought about that? He doesn't demand that we start, when we start something, that we start it big and impressive and glorious, but rather he rejoices to see that we begin, that the work is begun. You and me, we can knock down a mountain by taking one baby step at a time. Did you know that? Have you ever thought about that? Real strength and real growth will lead you to greater victory as you consistently, that's bolded in my speech, consistently continue every day with the small step that's right in front of you today. It will lead you to a greater victory. It will lead you to knock down the mountain one baby step at a time. What's in front of you today? So we're going to look, scripture talks about this, and maybe this verse is popping in your head from Zechariah. Let's go to the book of Zechariah. We've been, the last few weeks, several that have spoken and shared the word have spoken about, you know, Nehemiah and Ezra. We've been talking about, it's just kind of been orchestrated by the Holy Spirit, this rebuilding of the temple. And this is in that similar time when the returned exiles of Israel began rebuilding the second temple under the leadership of Zerubbabel. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but Zerubbabel, right? And so the elders were weeping over this the construction, the rebuilding of the temple, because they were comparing it to what they knew. It was like the elder people remembered, you know, the gray hairs remembered what the temple, the original initial temple looked like, Solomon's temple that was built, right? And this sanctuary seemed too small, too humble, like didn't seem like anything. And so their dreams of the kingdom restored to its former glory suddenly just kind of died in a day of small beginnings. So Zechariah responded to this, and we're going to look at Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. It's up there for you from the NLT version. So Zechariah is responding to this. He says, "Then another message came to me from the Lord," because the Lord gave him a message to speak to the people. Zerubbabel, and he was the one that was leading the reconstruction of the temple. Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundations of this temple, and he will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of heaven's armies has sent me. Verse 10. Sorry, I started in 8, didn't I? This is verse 10. "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand." So, like I said, the elders were weeping over this day of small things because they were sad. they had in their mind the comparison of the original temple, right? And so, but the God of Israel was not sad. He was not weeping over this. For all of his bigness, God has a remarkable love for what is small. And he was glad and excited that they were starting again, that they were simply starting, right? So it says he rejoices to see the work begin. He doesn't demand that what we start, the first time you put your hand to something or you say, I'm going to improve whatever area of my life, that it has to be perfect. This message is especially, will touch you, and you'll identify this if you're like me and you're like a type A personality or sort of struggle with some perfectionism, or you're like a high achiever and you want to just the first time you come out, you want to get it done perfectly, right? Is there anyone else out there like that? Okay, so I'm not alone. He doesn't demand that you start big and that you have it all figured out. He rejoices that you begin, that you just start, right? I used to have a roommate that had a little, I should make myself one. She had a little sign that hung on her wall and it said, begin, the rest is easy. I need to make myself a plaque that says that. Like, don't fret about, oh my gosh, this and that, I don't have it done. Just do it. Just start. Just begin. It doesn't have to look perfect. It doesn't have to look glorious. Our expectations for the big and for the all put together, they hinder us sometimes. We should recognize that. Ooh, sometimes we're our own obstacle. Don't be tempted to think when you take a small, you know, you're starting small and you're taking a small step that, well, if God were really in this, it would be all put together or it would be bigger by now. That's a lie. He says that he's rejoicing that the work has begun, that you've started, that it's in your heart to make a change, that it's in your heart to do something. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. Do not despise your baby step of what you're going to do and put into practice today. Because that lie, if God were really in this, then it would be bigger by now. That's not true. God had, just like in this story, God had rescued his people. God was with them, and God's plans would prosper even through the small start, even though it paled in comparison to the previous temple, Solomon's temple, right? So the takeaway, what we can take away from Zechariah is if we are genuinely faithful in the day of small things, our small obedience, just saying yes and obeying to that small step that's right in front of you, it will become big. It will turn into something different. Not usually right away, because we're talking about faithfulness. We're talking about consistency, right? So there's a process that happens. And it may not also look the way that we had expectations for, just like this temple. So we need to get rid of our own mindsets and just start and know that he's rejoicing over that. Just look at all the examples that we have in the Bible, in the Word of God, that prove that God can do something with a small beginning. I mean, it's all over this, the Word of God. It's all throughout it. His kingdom, which one day will cover the earth, it does not maybe begin big, right? The kingdom grew from one old man, Abraham, and his barren wife. That was a small beginning, wasn't it? Wow. With the promise that God made to Abraham that your descendants will be like the stars in the sky. And he's like, I'm over 100 years old, and my wife, Sarah, she's 90, and she's bare, you know, or you know, younger, because they waited for many years for the promise. She's barren. That was a small start, and it didn't look like anything. And it looked the opposite of what God had spoken to their hearts. Yet they obeyed, and they were faithful. I love it. I believe it's in Romans. I think Romans 4, where it talks about the amount of, this blesses me, as the time went on, God had spoken that promise to their hearts. And it's basically said, this is my, Pastor Sarah's paraphrase of it, that as the time went on, Abraham was strengthened in faith. That is opposite from the world. You know, if you're waiting for a promise, us in our human strength, as time goes on, let's say you have a chronic illness and you're believing that God's going to heal. But as the time goes on, as the years pass, you know, discouragement sets in. Like, when is this going to happen? But we need the encouragement of the Lord and to stay in faith. Right? Like Abraham, he was strengthened in faith as the time went on. That blesses me. I want to be like Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. Yeah, so he had many sons. It turned out big, right? And God multiplied the generations, the earth through that family that started out small. Another example, Deuteronomy 7, verse 7, it says, the Lord did not set his heart on you. So the Lord is talking to his the apple of his eye, Israel, the Jewish people. The Lord did not set his heart on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other nations, for you were the smallest of all nations. Israel, it's his heart. It's the apple, of God's eye. And he chose them not because they were great and mighty army, huge, powerful. He chose them because he loved them, right? And they were they happened to be the smallest of all the nations. So God is a great big God, but he's a God that loves what's small. He doesn't despise what's small. Look at Jesus and his disciples, how the church grew. Wow, that was a small start. Didn't look like much. This ragtag group of uneducated men that Jesus called to himself and said, come follow me. Peter's mouthing off. This guy, you know, James and John want to bring fire down. I was like, what kind of start is this? You know, but that's what God chose to spark a fire, to start the church and spread it across the earth. Wow. I mean, without them, we wouldn't be here. That was a small start, right? And another, in the word we see in Matthew 13, talks about a mustard seed. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? It is tiny. It is like a pinprick. It's very small. It's round. It's very small. So here's another illustration. So Matthew 13, verse 31 and 32, Jesus was speaking to his disciples and using a parable, using stories. And so he said to them, here is another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven... So he's comparing the kingdom of heaven like a mustard seed, the size of it. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of the garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches. Wow. Never underestimate the power of a small thing or a small beginning, because when tended correctly, like the mustard seed, it can produce a great thing. With the right conditions, right? Just like any seed, any plant, it needs the right conditions of sun, of water, of shade, of, you know, all the things, soil. It will produce a tree which can be 20 feet high, did you know this? And can be as wide as it is tall. It's like a big, fat, brown tree, right? And its branches can hang very low, like very close to the ground. I got to research about mustard trees. And there's also mustard plants. There's different varieties, different species. Because he's a big God. But he doesn't underestimate the start of it. a small, tiny little seed. So he's saying, if you're going to grow in the kingdom of God, you're going to do it just like this seed planted in the ground. It doesn't grow all at once. One day, you know, you don't plant the seed, and the next day you have the tree that the birds are resting in and getting their shade, right? There's a process. Don't we just love the process? Who loves the process that God takes you through? We want to just microwave our faith. We want to just microwave everything. Give it to me now. Drive up to the window. I don't even have to get out of my car. Just pass it through to me. I just want to eat right now, right? Oh boy, there's a process between planting the seed and the birds nesting in the branches. Help us, Jesus, to embrace the process, because he builds stuff in us every day when we're taking a baby step. He's building faithfulness in us. That is so important. Oh man, I learned that. Still learning that. Yeah. So that seed grows constantly, right? 24 hours a day, a little all the time, until it accomplishes what it was created to do. We, help us, Jesus, we lack consistency, don't we? Everyone say amen. Help me, Jesus, or help me, Jesus. We lack consistency. We might study and pray hard for a few days, and then we quit. Or like, how are we doing on our New Year's resolutions? It's May 12th. Who remembers what New Year's resolution they made? It's like way on, right? Wow, help us be faithful. Help us be consistent, Lord. We realize then, you know, that we're in trouble after a disaster comes, maybe, and God forbid, and so we make a mad dash. Let's say you get sick. You make a mad dash to osmosis. You're trying to sleep on the word about healing at night to get all those scriptures in your head. And you stand on the word and you know that maybe I'm not as strong as I could be if I'm doing a little bit every day consistently. Or that's just an example. But with whatever it is, you know, that you want to grow in. Crash courses don't work. Who used to, you know, at school when you have a test, who used to just cram the night before and pull an all-nighter? I see some hands going up. Does that work? How does that work? I mean, you might remember, some people are shaking their head like, yeah, it worked for me. Okay, that never worked for me, but that's just me. But that leads to inconsistency, right? One day we stand on the word, the next day we fall off. One day we're praying 2 hours a day, and the next day, 2 minutes, you know, or nothing at all. There's no such thing as an overnight success, unfortunately, in the kingdom of God. We can't microwave our faith. So how do we build faith? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. So if the area that you want to grow in is building faith for healing, for whatever your breakthrough you're believing for your family maybe, put that word into your heart a little bit every day, a little bit every day, a little bit every day, a little bit every day. If you're reading one verse a day or one verse and that's all you do in 2 weeks, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Because more powerful is that one word that you got in 1 month, that it's living inside of you, that it's alive in you, that the word is abiding in you. More powerful is that than today I can recite 20 verses to you and tomorrow I don't remember them and I haven't applied them to my life and I can just spout it out, but I'm not living it. Go for quality. Little bit every day, a little bit every day, right? Like the mustard seed. Like I said at the introduction, real strength. We want to be strong, strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, strong in his word, strong in faith. Real strength and real growth come as you consistently and constantly keep the word before you. Before your eyes, in your ears, we listen to it, and in the midst of your heart. Not just when you want to, not just when you feel like it, but a little bit, like a seed that grows a little bit every day. We can't let our feelings lead us. We can't let our feelings control us. Amen? No, we can't let those feelings control us. So let's look. Hebrews 13:8. Look in the word of God. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that verse, if you are somebody that, you know, prays, help me, Jesus, be steady. Help me be stable. That feels like, you know, getting whiplash sometimes by the emotions and living by circumstances of things where you go up and down. Well, guess what? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He's stable and he's steady. And guess what? He lives inside of you and he will make you be steady and a little more straight. Jesus, the Spirit of God, isn't fickle. It doesn't change. He doesn't change. He's the best model we have. He's constant. And if you press into him, he'll make you that way too. Amen? Amen. Amen. Who's experienced that? Probably if we went around the room and had some testimonies, who has experienced, you know, the Spirit of God like leveling you out in some area, keeping you steady? Like, I once was like this, and now, you know, I might have some bumps along the way, but he helps me, right? Be steady. And that happens when we get his word in our hearts. That the word grounds us. It helps us be steady. Let's cling to him and his word. There is a, in the Faith to Faith devotional by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, there's a story in there that that Gloria Copeland was asking the Lord years ago to teach her to walk in the Spirit, that she could operate more fully in the supernatural power of God. That was her prayer, and she was talking to God about that, how she could grow and operate in his supernatural power. And she heard him say, his response to her was, inconsistency lies the power. Inconsistency lies the power. In other words, a baby step. That's what we're talking about, right? A small beginning, just a little bit. Consistency. You want to walk in the Spirit and the supernatural power of God? Be consistent with what you're doing. Not one day all on and the next day, oh, I'm all off, I feel down, you know. Little bit. Consistency. Little bit. Faithful. Faithful and constant. So Jesus talked about this also, probably in many other places than this, but John 8, verses 31 and 32, it says that Jesus, he said this, it says, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful. Do you hear my bolded speech again? It's bolded in my notes. Remain faithful to my teachings. Then you'll know the truth. You have to remain faithful to really know his truth, and that truth then can set you free, will set you free. Listen to it in some of these other versions. New King James Version says, if you abide in my word. Or the New American Standard says, if you continue, these are synonyms, right, for remaining faithful, abiding. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. And the Message, it says, if you stick with this. That's kind of our everyday language, right? For remaining or abiding or continuing. Stick with it. Don't give up. If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Then you will experience for yourself the truth, and the truth will free you. So he's saying basically that faithfulness remaining in him, remaining in his word, that will mark us. It should mark us. That is a distinguishing feature of a disciple of Jesus, somebody who is remaining, continuing in his word. Amen? Say, that's me. That's right. He wants us to remain faithful to his teachings. We abide or we persist or we continue in his word. And that consistency will mark us and people will know, wow, you're different. You're different than the world. You stand out because you're constant and you're steady, not up and down. The Sarah I once knew used to be very up and down. I gave myself whiplash with my own emotions. It was painful in every way and painful for those around me to watch it. Praise the Lord for his word. It's made me faithful. It's made me a bit more constant. And then he gave me a husband who's a steady rock, and I have him to help me still on days when I'm a little up and down. Praise the Lord. So start small with where you are. It's okay where you are. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Have you heard this phrase or this, I don't know, adage, that there's only one way to eat an elephant? What's the way to eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How big is an elephant? Pretty darn big, right? One bite at a time. Begin. The rest is easy, right? Just stick with it and don't give up. So maybe the Holy Spirit, as I'm talking, is highlighting to you, or you already know, that there's an area that you've been maybe frustrated with in your life or that you want to grow in, maybe a spiritual discipline, like I want to grow in prayer. You know, we've been reading about speaking in tongues. I want to grow my praying in the heavenly language to commune with him. Or I want to really grow the word of God in the area of healing, let's say. So create an action plan for that one bite at a time. What is that going to look like? Create an action plan for the area that you want to grow in. Be consistent then in taking that little baby step right where you are today. Be consistent to create a habit. Don't go overwhelmed. The high achievers in the room, don't get overwhelmed by, oh, I got to do it perfect. And I got to, you know, no. What's your baby step? Cut it down. Make it smaller. Make it doable today. And that you can also do it tomorrow. And then you do it the next day. And then you do it the next day. And a few months from now, you'll still be doing it because it's only 5 minutes. And guess what? The beauty of that is out of that creating a habit at some point, if you are consistent and you're opening your heart to it and to the Holy Spirit, there'll be like a shift. There will be a shift, and it becomes, you'll tap into something deeper. It becomes more than just an obligation of, oh, my 5 minutes are up. It becomes, my heart is open, and now 5 minutes is, you know, blown out of the water by an hour of praying, and I get lost in my intimate time with him, right? But you got to start somewhere. Don't start trying to do an hour at a time. That might be a big mountain to climb, right? So small baby step that's practical for you that you can be consistent and constant with. And there'll be that like shift, like, oh, now it's something, I've tapped into something deeper. I've tapped into the heart of God, right? So take baby steps toward God and developing a new godly discipline, for example. And I realized as I was talking to a dear friend of mine about this, and we were talking about baby steps, and just she was sort of helping me because I tend to be like try to climb up all the Mount Everest in one day. And she was like, well, what's your, you know, make it practical. What's the action plan, you know? And so we were talking through this, and I had a revelation that the opposite is true. If I'm want to take baby steps toward God, and toward something positive, toward something godly, like increasing my prayer life, that I can also take baby steps away from God and away from what is godly, away from what would be a good habit. Because, you know, each baby step to sin leads to death, right? Baby step away. My heart gets further. Baby step away. Baby step away. God's over here. I'm taking baby steps away. It's like a slow fade, right? And we know that, you know, the word says, Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death. But it starts with one baby step at a time. So just like we're talking about baby steps to believe in the word and, you know, increase your prayer life or whatever it is, baby steps toward God, you can also take these baby steps away. It's a slow fade. Like a marriage doesn't dissolve overnight. It's a slow baby step away every day, month after month, year after year, right? Or with whatever we're talking about. That's just an example. A person doesn't usually walk away from God just overnight. It's a baby step away, a baby step away. So we get to choose, like the word says. I've given, set before you life and blessings or curses. Choose life. Choose baby steps toward me, he says, right? Because those baby steps, whether you're going positive toward God or away, it's going to lead to something bigger. It's going to lead to life, or it's going to lead to death and sin and death. So we get to choose abundance of life or abundance of death. I remember we had a prayer time here for the tent meeting the other evening, and the Lord reminded me of, you know, a humble beginning that I had, as a small start, my humble beginning on the Navajo Indian Reservation. And maybe I haven't shared so much about this, because a lot of you know that, you know, maybe I talk more about Argentina. You know, I was a missionary in Argentina, and you've heard stories about that. But the Lord took me back to, just as we were praying, like in my mind, reminded me of the small beginning that I had on the Navajo Indian Reservation, of all places, in Arizona. That's where I met Jesus. The Lord brought me out there, and I was giving a year of service to be a teacher, a special education teacher, and it started with just that one baby step, that one decision to go to Arizona, because I wanted to do something different with my life. I wanted to, you know, I had just graduated and received my teaching degree, and it was like, I had this attitude in my heart, it was like, well, I have my whole life to be a traditional teacher. I just want to do something different my first year, kind of celebrate that I'm done. And so I was a volunteer teacher, and not knowing that really, you know, if you say something like that, I want to do something a little different. That's like God just swooped that up and was like, yeah, there's a call to missions on my life. I was in a transcultural setting, you know, with this culture. It was just this, you know, white girl placed down in the middle of this hard place in our nation. And it was a small start. It was a humble beginning. It was my first year as a teacher. Hard. It was the start of my life with Jesus. I met him intimately and just recommitted my life. And even that was, if you've heard my salvation story, I can't tell you like, oh, it was March 10th, you know, whatever year. I'm just a process person. So it was like a time period when I remember like wrestling with what am I going to live for? What am I going to do? And because I was searching for something greater. But it wasn't glorious. It wasn't glorious. That start of just figuring life out in a different context, in a different culture. I had children that had great needs and a variety of needs, and I was just really challenged by their behavior. You know, I had a student that was twice my size, and she would get upset and push me up against the wall and say, you want to go? You want to go? And I'm like calling for my assistant, like, I need some back up. Like, I need some help here. I don't know what to do. And I had another boy that loved to, he thought he was Spider-Man on days, and so he would climb, run out of the classroom and climb up on the hogans, which were the buildings that the Navajo Indians use, and he would climb up to the roof and be up there doing the Spider-Man thing. And I'm like, you get down here. And he's not listening to me one lick. And he would run off. We'd go on a walk with the students to give them some fresh air and some exercise. And he would run off into the fields of the sheep where the sheep herders were. And I'd have sheep herders really mad at me because I have this child that's running through the, you know, he's 13-year-old, like unruly, running through the field of sheep. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. And somebody go get the principal because I need some help, you know? So it wasn't glorious by any means, but that was the start of my career. It was the start of my life with Jesus. And I think back to that time and go, wow, you know, that yes, and every day showing up, that boy that I chased all over the place, I mean, I found myself in like construction tubes, like he would hide in there and I'm sticking my face in there like, you need to come out right now, and all these crazy, I mean, I can tell you stories, you know, chairs flying at my head in the classroom and stuff. I mean, I wasn't just an ordinary teacher. And so the day his mother came in for a conference, somehow it came out, I mean, not that I was flaunting this, but somehow it came out that I was a volunteer, that I was a volunteer teacher, and she looked at me and she was like, you mean to tell me that you're not getting paid to chase my son all over the place and up on roofs? And I mean, she knew, she had heard about his bad behavior for years in schools and schools that threatened to kick him out and all of this. And she just like, I mean, she was just amazed that like, you show up every day here to chase my son and deal with his behavior. She was impacted. She was impacted by the love of God, really, because that's what had me showing up. So that little yes turned into something a little bigger, a little bigger. You know, I stayed there for 3 years. I grew my relationship with the Lord. And, you know, the start of our church was also very small, humble beginnings. It was, we met in a trailer home, and we would just praise God, and it was very organic, I guess I would say. And, you know, our theme of our church was, or like motto saying that we would say was, we're going to love the defeat out of people, because there's a lot of defeat on the Indian reservations. And we certainly saw it every day, you know, alcoholism and abuse in my students and, you know, different things. But our goal was to love the defeat out of people. And so we started doing things like the Lord showed me to like their hitchhikers. I don't know if this is still a thing out there, but people hitchhike on the, at least when I was there 20 years ago, you know, on the reservation all the time. And so we would get in teams and we would pray and we would pack lunches and we would drive around after church on a Sunday, you know, once a month, and we would look for hitchhikers. Hey, get in. They'd say, where are you going? And we'd say, where are you going? We'll take you where you're going. And we would minister to them because we had a captive audience, because they're in the car and they weren't jumping out unless they got really freaked out. But that never happened. I mean, they listened to us. We prayed for them. We ministered to them. And really cool situations of reuniting families, like a man that was walking for miles from another city because his wife was having a baby, like his first son. And it was just like, oh my gosh. You know, so humble beginnings. We started with humble beginnings. And so what I'm trying to say, and the reason I'm sharing some of these stories, is because if you just show up every day with what he's put in front of you today, and you're constant and you're faithful with that, he will grow something in you. He'll be doing a process. So don't hate the process, and just continue. And one day you'll look back and go, wow, that was a humble start, but I'm glad I started and I'm glad I continued. Right? Amen. So in conclusion, we'll just land the plane here. Psalm 33, 13 through 15. The Lord looks down from heaven and sees the whole human race. The Lord's looking down from heaven. He sees the whole human race. From his throne, he observes all who live on the earth. He made their hearts, so he understands everything they do. That speaks of the greatness, the bigness of God, that he looks down and sees the whole human race. But guess what? You're in the human race. Each one of you, each one of you. And it says he made their hearts. He understands everything they do. He sees your baby step. And he's going, yeah, keep going. Keep going. I love that baby step. Don't mock yourself for your baby step. Don't mock yourself for that small start. He cares about you starting. He sees and he'll help you and he'll be cheering you on. The Holy Spirit is your biggest cheerleader. Don't give up. Keep going. Tomorrow, the next day, be faithful. Show up. Do it again. Baby step. You got this, right? Be like a seed that's planted in the ground, growing a little bit constantly, all the time, all the time, all the time. And you'll end up being rest and providing shade like that mustard tree that started from the very small little seed. When you grow and grow and grow because of each baby step at a time, you will be the one that's providing that rest and that shade for other birds, so to speak, right? You are an overcomer. Remain in him and keep taking that one step at a time. The day of big things is coming for you. It's coming for your family. It's coming for our church. Let's pray for the big. We can love the big. We desire the big. We work for the big. All the while not despising the small. Faithfully devoting ourselves to the small thing that's in front of me today. And then you will see his plan unfold. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you that you are such a great big God, but you're a God that loves the small too. And you see us, you see our hearts. You're looking down at the whole human race, but you see each heart, each life, and you see each baby step. So I pray, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would help us really commit to whatever area that we want to grow in, that you would help us, you would give us divine strategies, the action plan to create new habits in that one area with one baby step at a time, something that's practical and doable for each one of us. Help us, Lord, and that day after day we wake up and we do that. Help us be faithful. We want to be a people that follows after your word day after day. We want to be constant. We want to be steady. Thank you, Lord, for helping us build that discipline one baby step at a time. Forgive us, Lord, for how we have maybe in the past despised the day of a small beginning of other people or our own. Help us realize that that one constant baby step can allow us to go closer to you. It can allow us to knock down a mountain. It can make us an overcomer. And I thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus, for helping, getting behind each one and cheering them on. You're saying, don't give up. Keep going. Be faithful. You got this. And I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. And Father, I lift up everybody that's listening on social media, and I pray your blessings over them today. Bless the moms and their with their families, Father God. Bring your shalom peace over every household, over every heart, over every decision being made this week. I pray your wisdom, your discernment. Thank you, Lord. Bless them to be a blessing. I speak to any sickness and I command it to go in the name of Jesus. And I pray healing and wellness over bodies now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We honor you. We give you praise and glory. All to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.